Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Rachel Wright. Hope everyone is having a great, relaxing weekend. Looks like the rain held off today, so we're actually outside on the studio deck, which is nice, not too hot, just a little bit of cloud, but for today, looking very nice outside. If this is your first time joining the show, let me just say welcome. And for everybody who is coming back again for our show, thank you for tuning in again. Just a little bit about me. I am a motivational speaker. I am the owner of Rachel Chats, insurance agent, volunteer, philanthropist, and a kidney transplant recipient. First, I'm going to do a recap of my diabetic challenge from last week, how everything turned out. I generally do that every week just to give you guys an idea of where I am. So it was another busy week. I finalized my video for the coach competition. The final video cut will be up on social media by tomorrow, so tune in to my Twitter to look that up, and that is Rachel Chats. Also, check out my Instagram at Rachel W. Chats to see that video. The biggest challenge that I had to staying on track has been the food diary log, and again, making healthy choices when I'm traveling. Those would be the two difficult tasks that I've had to contend with. As I talked about last week, I was going to start taking the food diary with me because what I was finding when I was leaving it at home, if I got home late or I was tired, I did not record anything for the day. So I'm very excited to tell you guys it actually worked. I stayed on track every day. I only ate once this past week out, made a few more healthier choices as far as adding a little more salads and veggies to the snacks, which I had not done in the past. So that was a real win to see that the food diary did work how it's supposed to work. I was also consistent all week on my schedule for eating and taking medications. That's been a constant, so I have remained on track with that. Stayed on my schedule for breakfast between 9 and 10 a.m., lunch between 1 and 2 a.m., dinner between 5 and 6 p.m., and generally a snack if I wanted something in the evening between 7:15 and 7:45 p.m. Although I did maintain my food diary, stayed on track with the eating schedule, I did see, unfortunately, a spike in the glucose level on Wednesday. And I couldn't quite figure out why there was a spike on that day, and I had done so well from when I previously talked to you guys on Saturday. So that was Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then when we got to Wednesday, there was a spike. I had to go back to the food diary to check the record. I really did not think there was anything out of the ordinary that I might have eaten. So I did go back and check the diary. When I checked the diary, I noticed that that was the day that I ate out twice. Remember, I said I did eat out that week, but I was like, was it twice? So it was actually twice for breakfast and lunch. So, you know, once I saw that it was twice, and then I looked at the diary to see what I selected, of course, it was some fried something, some kind of sandwich that I had from a fast food. And then I think the snack that I had was not a healthy snack, so I probably had maybe a cookie or something like that, not a healthy choice like I normally have, which is an apple. So one thing I have learned throughout this challenge, and one thing I had struggled before I started doing the diary back in June. Prior to that, I was very tough on myself when I saw the levels were not going as I thought they should be going. And when I cut back on foods, I wasn't seeing the numbers that I knew it should have been. So I have learned not to get down on myself because it's only one day. The good thing about it is, you know, maybe you did have something that was not in your daily food plan and did spike your glucose level. Hey, that day is over. Move on. The next day you're going to make a healthier choice. And that's just what I did. Thursday, Friday, today, everything was back on track. I was in the normal range between 100 and 130 for glucose level. So as you can see, we're back on track. So that was definitely good news. My endocrinologist appointment is next month. I believe at the end of the month. So when I do see her, we will go over the food diary, the past quarterly glucose readings that I've had, and then she'll take my A1C to see how I've done, you know, for the past quarter. So that's been a good thing, just keeping you updated on what's going on with the diabetic challenge. Now on to today's topic, which is kidney transplant and moving. When I say moving, I don't mean moving around the corner. What I'm talking about is when you make the decision that you're going to move out of state and you have had a kidney transplant, what are the steps that you need to be taking to ensure that everything is completed before you move, and when you go to your new city, you know, you're not scrambling around trying to find a doctor, trying to find a transplant clinic, trying to find a pharmacy, trying to get your prescriptions filled. So that's what today's topic is about. The first thing that you need to do when you've actually made that decision is contact your transplant clinic. Give them a heads up when you're actually looking to move, if you already have a date or maybe you have a prospective date. Still give them that information so they can get your records together. And they will also refer you to a new transplant clinic if you are not close by. Say if you're within maybe 1 or 2, maybe up to 4 hours. Maybe it's something that you could drive and you're not having frequent transplant clinic appointments. They may continue to follow up with you in that current transplant clinic. So it might be a situation where you do not have to go to another transplant clinic, but discuss that with them. They'll give you the course of action that you need to pursue on that. And again, as I said, obtain a copy of your transplant surgery record, your medical records from that facility that you have. I know they can transfer that electronically to, you know, your new clinic if you'd be going to a new clinic. But it's always good to walk with a paper copy in hand just in case. You know, we've all had it where we've sent something via email. Maybe we did not save it. And then the person calls you and says, hey, I didn't get an email. And then you have no copy. You've got to go back to the transplant clinic and request that again. And, you know, quite frankly, sometimes it's not something that they can turn around within the 24-hour period. You may have to wait a couple of days. It may have to go to the medical records department for them to obtain those files for you. The next thing you should do is contact your nephrologist. That's normally the doctor that's following up with you on a week-to-week basis as far as taking labs, checking out your new kidney, just making sure everything is going as planned on a day-to-day basis. Again, you're going to obtain a copy of your medical records from your nephrologist. You're going to get your prescriptions refilled while you're still in your local area. And you're also going to get a referral if you do not have a local nephrologist. The next step would be to contact your insurance company, discuss the plans that might be available in your new area. I know in the state of Maryland, sometimes there's a limited amount of insurance plans that might be available that would cover kidney disease, kidney medications, Part D coverage. So in a lot of the other states, you might see where there's more availability for coverage. Definitely want to contact them. Give them an idea, if you have it, of your address so they can actually quote it correctly. If you don't have that, your zip code or the zip code that you're thinking of moving to, that would be sufficient. You're also going to discuss any changes to the plan, to the monthly payment. You might be looking at coverage that might be considerably less than what you're paying. So those are the two things that you would discuss with your current insurance company. The next step would be to contact your new transplant clinic, and that's if you are going to be looking at going to another clinic. You're going to schedule an appointment for when you actually plan to be in the new area. They may want you to walk with a copy of your medical records, a copy of a letter from your nephrologist, and they may want you to also bring your prescriptions with you, not an actual prescriptions, because again, that might have changed. Normally the current prescriptions that you have, everything's going to appear correct on, you know, the actual bottle. So normally they might request that you bring in the actual bottle of prescription. So before you're traveling out of state and you look at your medication list, it would probably be a good idea to get those refilled in your current home pharmacy before you actually travel out of state. That way you have an extra supply with you when you're traveling. Be sure that if you are flying, that all the prescriptions actually travel with you, even if you have extra prescriptions. I had a situation probably 2 months back where I traveled with my current prescriptions, as I always do, and I also traveled with my diabetes medication in a separate pouch, but it was still with me. Well, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this one medication that I have extra, I was like, you know, let's just pack it. I don't need it. I have plenty during the trip. But just let's pack this extra one. Okay, of course, I packed it, unfortunately, in the check-on bag. What happened was, of course, I know everybody's probably experienced this before, the plane was delayed and I was transferred to another carrier, so the bags were delayed. they were not there when I landed, and I think it took about maybe 1 or 2 days before the bags arrived. If I did not have my current medication with me and I had packed, let's say I didn't have any extra and I had packed the extra in the check-on, well, that could have been a real disaster. So just a note, don't pack medication. Again, you're going to contact, as I said, your local pharmacy. Ask them if you need any referrals. Normally, you just need to provide them with your current information. You may have to go in to the actual pharmacy because they may need to make a copy of your insurance cards. At that time, you can put in your prescription refills. Also, when you make that call to your pharmacy, you just want to make sure that the refills that they have on file for you, there might be mail order that might be available for those prescriptions. That is an easier way to get your prescriptions when you move. You just contact your current pharmacy, let them know you're moving. If you have your new address, give them that information. And, you know, it's very painless. You don't have to worry about locating a new pharmacy. You don't have to worry about traveling with excess medications. Just know that, you know, your extra medications will be on the way to your new location. When you're looking at the day of the move, of course, it is hectic when you decide to move. You're packing, you're getting everything together, you're making sure you've seen all your doctors that you need to see. One thing I do want to add is if you have a primary care physician, I'll put that in. I didn't mean to, delete them out of the picture. The primary care physician, normally the only thing you might need from them is just to let them know that you are moving, because they're generally in constant correspondence with your nephrologist. He's going to be kind of like your primary care because he follows up with everything. If you're sick, you don't feel good, you got a headache, you call him because he deals with everything because you've had a kidney transplant. But you still should alert your primary care doctor that you're moving out of the area. And also, they may have a referral for a new primary care doctor in your area. So now we've contacted everyone. We've contacted transplant clinic, nephrologist. We've contacted your primary care, insurance, medicine, prescriptions. So now we're looking at the day of the move. It's very important that you continue your medication and your eating schedule as close to normal as possible. When you are a diabetic, you need to make sure that you're maintaining that same schedule, that you don't see a fluctuation in your glucose level. So on the day of the move, you're going to, again, as I said, keep the same schedule for eating. If you are traveling by car, just make sure you pack your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're going to pack any snacks that you might need for traveling. And, of course, this is very, very important, pack as much water as possible. Make sure you are hydrating, even if it is, you know, maybe you're saying, oh, it's just a short trip, it's a two-hour trip, I really don't need to pack that, I can, you know, wait till I get there. It's always better to be over-prepared. Also, when you're traveling, say you're traveling by airplane, you're going to take a flight, going to still do the same thing. You can still pack your breakfast and lunch, maybe not dinner, depending on how long the flight is. Again, you're going to still pack, you know, just a few bag snacks, nothing that would be loose since you're traveling on a plane. And also making sure that, you know, prior to maybe taking your flight. You're hydrated. You can always get bottled water on the plane. So that wouldn't be an issue. So just to make sure that you are prepared. I think that's the biggest thing when you look to move out of state. You know, you give yourself enough time to prepare for everything. Make a list, do a checklist. You know, have I contacted everyone? Have I, you know, if you have, you know, other providers that you might not think of, maybe your eye doctor, maybe your dentist, that's kind of something we really don't think of that we need to contact. So if you do need an eye doctor or a dentist, just, again, you can also look at getting a referral from, you know, transplant clinic or a referral from your primary care doctor. I think those are probably the last two providers that we probably think about when we're moving. We're really not concerned about the eye doctor. Sorry for any eye doctors out there. I wear glasses, so partial to the eye doctors. So very important to be prepared and very important to just come with all the necessary documentation that you might need. Normally in the new facility that you move to, you can just give them a call and say, you know, Dr. Smith referred me from, you know, Johns Hopkins, and, you know, I want to schedule an appointment. They'll normally tell you what you need to bring to your new appointment. They normally have a patient portal that you can go in and register for. So, you know, they make it very easy for you to do that. So those would be my tips when you are looking to move out of state and you have a kidney transplant. A lot of people, when I posted on my social media that I was going to be doing a show today on moving, they kind of were like, well, why is she doing a show on moving? Oh, yeah, she knows someone that's moving. The reason why I was doing a show today on moving, because I am actually moving out of the Maryland area. A business opportunity has come its way, and it's something that I cannot pass by. So I'm going to be moving out of the Maryland area in the coming weeks in September. The show will actually be broadcasting from another location, and I'll talk more about that as we get closer to the date. So I'm very excited. If anyone who knows me knows that I love Maryland, I always talk about Maryland and talk about my school, University of Maryland, Maryland Terps, always talk about my football, Baltimore Ravens. So don't think because I'm moving that you'll see me in different gear. No, I will still be rocking the same gear wherever I am and will always love Maryland and will already continue to talk to people here about moving and also continue to visit Maryland and come up here for appointments to the transplant clinic that I have. So with that said, I just want to say if you, again, want to hire me to speak at your event, if you want me to host an event you're having or partner with me on a business venture, you can contact me on social media, and it can be on Facebook, and that is Rachel Wright. Contact me on Twitter at Rachel Chats. Contact me on Instagram at Rachel W. Chats or on my website, www.rachelchats.com. If you don't feel comfortable sending anything via social media, of course, just give me a call. That number is 301-693-7792. I will continue to be broadcasting the show. Just because I'm moving from Maryland, that broadcast will not stop. I want to thank everyone for listening today. I will be back next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just want to thank Candace George at Entrepreneurs Empower, for the opportunity to host my own show. Everybody, you have a great Saturday, have a great week, and be right.